that word, our inheritance in Christ Jesus. And the text that God has laid in my heart is Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1 to 14. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14. For those who are not used to the Bible, I'm not saying we're not, is in the Old Testament, because some people are used to the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament and is one of the five books of Moses. And we all know about Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, and then we get to Deuteronomy. Is that right? So are we there? Because I don't want to start without us being there, or else I'll be told off again. So, and then if you can put that up as well for us. Thank you. Deuteronomy 28, from verse 1 to 14. And we all, as Bible students, will know this very well. We know this very well because it's one of those special blessings of God upon the children of Israel. And it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandment, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations." So look at the beginning of that word. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all that is commanded, which all his commandment which I have commanded thee this day, the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flock of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thy enemy that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee seven ways. And the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. And the Lord shall bless thee in the land which the Lord has given thee. The Lord shall establish thee as an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee. And if thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art been called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord swore unto thy father to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens to give the rain unto thy land in its season, and to bless the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and shall not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I commanded this day to do and to observe them, and thou shalt not go aside from the word which I command thee this day, to the right or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them." This is the reading of the word of God, and the Lord bless his word. This morning, why did I have to choose from the Old Testament? And what does this mean? What does this mean? Number one, what does an inheritance mean? English dictionary will tell you inheritance is what is passed from one person to the other. And obviously, the person passing the inheritance must have something to give. And that is what we're looking at here. Inheritance is what you get from one person that is given to the other person and sometimes it's through a will or through a written document, or you just, it's something that's passed on. It's like passing on. And as Christians, what is our inheritance in Christ Jesus? What is our inheritance in Christ Jesus? We tend to look at ourselves and say we are Christians, we follow Christ. But what are we? What is it that makes us feel like we are part of Christ? What is that thing that Christ has given to us that makes us feel we're part of Him and we're part of Christ? The Bible says that Jesus Christ, as a person, came into the world. Number one, before He came into the world, He left His throne above because He wanted to redeem us unto God. The first thing that Christ did, the plan of God was He came so that He can redeem us unto God. And we just sang this morning, we love Him. But He first loved us because in His heart, He had us in His mind. He wanted us to be part of God's kingdom. So He came. And Him coming was to redeem us unto God for a reason and for a purpose. What was the purpose? So that He can reconcile us back to the initial plan of God. What is the initial plan of God? The Bible says God created the earth and He placed man in that garden. And He said man should take control of the garden, multiply and increase. Just take care of the garden. A completed work, like a completed painting, given unto man. And what did we do? Instead of us to admire the painting, we put a hole in the painting and we destroy that painting. We put a hole in it, but we still kept the painting on the wall with that hole. And everyone that comes to our gallery will look at the painting and said, this painting will have been good if not for the hole that is in it. They come into the gallery. Yes, they do come in. Everyone comes into your life, know you, you're bubbling, you're living, but you're not, you're existing, but you're not living. The hole is there. And each time that hole is seen, you just say, whoa, that painting is lovely, but if only the hole is not there. And then that was our situation until Jesus came. And Jesus did not just put a cover to the hole. He took out that painting and gave us a new painting. He replaced the whole painting that has a hole and put a new painting on our wall. And that new painting He put on our wall was made perfect in such a way that it now has a gloss, a covering over it, the covering of the blood. And the devil could not touch it again. The hole could not get into it again because it's all sealed and delivered by the blood of Jesus. And as a result, the devil does not have dominion over that painting again. So our life is renewed into God. That was what Jesus came to do. I use the painting illustration to make it easier for us to understand how these things work. But then He came to do that for us. And as He came to do that for us, He brought us back into that promise of God. But how does that then relate to that promise in Deuteronomy 28? That we've just read? Galatians 3, verse 5 to 14, talks about Jesus Christ and His ministry to us. He says, He therefore that ministered to you in the Spirit, work a miracle among you, does it by the work of law or by the hearing of faith. Even Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was talking about, that verse was talking about everything that how Jesus Christ came into the world and relate it to Abraham. And in verse 13 and 14, he said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made curse for us. For it is written, curse is he that is hung on the tree. That the blessings, look at that verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 29 of that Galatians 3 said, and if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heir to the promise. So basically, when you read Deuteronomy 28, like I said, it's the Old Testament, it's for the Jewish nation, it's a promise of God that he made to the Jewish nation, that if you keep my commandment, this is what will come to you. But then, when you look at it, you look at your relationship with Jesus Christ, and you look at what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to restore us back to the plan of God. And that plan of God includes those promises that he has made in time past. So those promises are yours and mine. Those promises are yours and mine. So when you're reading Deuteronomy 28, you're not just reading a promise to the Jewish nation. You're reading a promise to you and for me. Because Christ has made us part of that kingdom. He has brought us into that love of God that he showed to Abraham. He has brought us into that love of God that he showed to the children of Israel. He has brought us in. I am not in that theory of replacement, because we're not replacing the Jewish nation. We have just become part of God's love and plan. We have just become part of God's eternal plan. Because what was God's eternal plan? The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting. God has brought us into that love. The plan, the initial plan of God is for the whole world. The initial plan of God is for the whole world. And the inheritance of that plan is for you and for me. And our own inheritance is buried in Christ Jesus. So, to many that have received Christ, they have been born into that promise as well. And that promise is for you to inherit. That promise is for you to inherit. But how do you then inherit that promise? There was something in that Deuteronomy 28 that I want you to pick and look at. It says, if you will keep to that commandment that I've commanded you. So there was something about it. There was a condition upon which this promise can be fulfilled. And that condition is being in Christ. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. So being in Christ, coming into that fellowship with Christ, coming into that personal relationship with Christ, because Christ is the carrier of that promise, not you. Christ is the carrier of that promise. But that promise will come to you the moment you come into Christ. So our inheritance in God is in Christ Jesus. Our inheritance in God is in Christ Jesus. So I want you to understand that clearly. Our inheritance in God is in Christ Jesus. Because there is no other name by which man can be saved than the name of Jesus. There is no other sacrifice that can be paid than that which Jesus has paid. So basically, our inheritance is buried in Christ Jesus. So that is the beginning of our journey. So if we want to claim the promise of God, we need to come into Christ. I don't know whether I'm making any sense here, but I want you to understand, if you want to claim the promise of God, if you want to go back to that promise of that Garden of Eden where he gave you control over everything, you need to come back into Christ. So the commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. It's to love the work of God, to accept the name of Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and that is how you come in to that. But then, it's easy to say, accepting the name of the Lord, accepting Jesus Christ. You can say, some people in the world will say, but I've not seen him. I've not seen this Christ. I only read about him. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. The word of God is for you to be able to understand and get these blessings. There's something that you need. And the common factor in everything that we've read in this scripture this morning is having faith. Those promises are there, but you need a faith to be able to tap into these promises. And that faith is not in any other thing than Jesus Christ. You cannot have faith in any other thing and claim a promise, and claim an inheritance that is being battered by Jesus Christ. You need to have faith in Christ Jesus. How do I know this? The Bible says Abraham had faith in God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Abraham had faith in God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. So Abraham, in his exercising of faith, believed every word that comes out of God's mouth. Even when he was 90, he was still counting stars. He was still counting the sand of the sea. He was still counting. He was still believing God's word that he will have children. At 99, he was still believing God. Abraham exercised that faith in such a way that eventually it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham's promise was, you will be the father of many nations. That's what Abraham's promise. And Abraham believed those words right from when he was 75 till when he was 100. For 25 years, he was waiting on God. And when that promise was fulfilled, the whole world today are claiming Abrahamic promise through Christ Jesus. And that is how Abraham walked with God. He believed the word of God. Jesus Christ also, in his own mission, when he came into the world, he believed in the mission that God has given him. There was a faith part of Jesus Christ. When he says in John 9 verse 4, he said, I must do the work of him who was sent me while it is day. Night come when no man shall walk. He believed in the promise of God, in the power that God has bestowed upon him. In Luke chapter 4 verse 18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He went to the temple. I was reading that scripture and said, I've been anointed to bring healing, to bring peace, to bring comfort to troubled soul. Jesus believed every word of God. And when the devil tempted him, what did he say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And this is God himself in flesh. So there was a faith factor in everything that they did to fulfill God's plan and purpose. So if we want to inherit what is in Christ Jesus, we need to do what Jesus did. Jesus had a link with the heavenly. He had faith in every word of God. He never doubted his covenant with God, that I've come so that you might have life and life abundant. I have come so that I might renew you unto God. Jesus came. Jesus believed everything that he's come to do. There was never a time that he was, even when he was in the garden and he was like, this is tough. This is really, really tough. I wish this cup would pass over me. But what did he say? Not my will, but thy will be done. What am I driving at here? I'm asking you this, I'm bringing this message to you and to myself this morning, because when we say we are in Christ Jesus, we are inheriting God through Christ Jesus, are we doing what Christ did? Are we standing where Christ stood? Are we exercising the faith the way Christ did? Are we living the way Christ lived? He said, the work that I do, you will do. Greater works you will do. But then, how do you do this greater work? If you don't have that faith in God. If you don't have that belief in his promise. I love that song that we used to sing. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Let me just find the song again. He said, there was a part of it that I want to just touch on. Is 261. That just came to my mind, so I just have to quickly get it. He said, standing on the promises of Christ, our King, through eternal ages, let his praise be seen. Through eternal ages, let his praise be seen. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. I'm standing on the promise of God. He said, then verse 2 says, standing on the promises that cannot fail. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. When promises is just a word, but our faith to hang on to the word is very, very important. Jesus did not allow the doubt and the trouble of the world to come around him. But how are we doing it as Christians? Our inheritance is in Christ Jesus, but are we claiming it? Are we exercising that faith to claim it? Are we living in that position where we can claim it? Or are we just living every day as it comes? Faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So when you see it, that's not faith. But when you don't see it and you believe it, that is faith. The Bible says Abraham staggered not in his faith in God. He did not allow unbelief to allow him to move from what God has said. Abraham stood firm on that promise. You will have a child. He shall be the father of many nations. Interestingly, I mean, in the present world, you look at it and say, at 100, he just had only one child. How will he be the father of many nations? But then, look at how the whole world are claiming the promise of God through Abraham. The whole world are claiming the promise of God through Abraham. He believed in God. He believed in the plan of God. Brothers and sisters, what am I saying to you this morning? I'm encouraging you into exercising a faith. You might have looked at it and said, since January, I've been praying about something and it's not happening. Since January, I've been waiting on God and things are not happening. I'm saying to you, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm saying to you, God is not a liar. When he says it, he will do it. Those promises in Deuteronomy 28 are for you. But there are conditions for those promises to be yours. Number one, you need to exercise faith. You need to believe every word that comes out of God's mouth. You need to believe every word that you read. You see, there's sometimes you think of it and say, this is heavy. But those are for you. Heavy is for you because you are standing with the strongest of the world, the creator of heaven and earth. That's who you're standing with. Those are the things that is meant for you. You need to be able to claim those faith, those promises by faith. You need to be able to hold on to that promises. Even when the storms of the world are throwing things at you. I love that singer, that the writer of that song. Count your blessings, name them one by one. The man has lost everything. And he's still singing, count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Maybe things are falling apart around you and you're thinking, oh, and I'm a Christian. I want to encourage you this morning. No, hang on to God. The world will throw everything at you. They did it to Jesus Christ. Hang on to God. Have faith in God. His promises are yea and amen. It is sealed from the beginning. It is yours and it is mine. Those promises are for you and for me. And those promises will not go away unfulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away, will not go unfulfilled. That is the promise of God. And as you exercise your faith, you find yourself in position of prayer. It is very important, and that's a very important part of your inheritance in Christ. Christ himself, the Bible says, he prays unto God. Prayer of faith that healed the sick. We do that always in this fellowship, and I thank God for that. One thing I love is this Jesus structure of praying as recorded in the Bible. John 11:42. That part still makes me just smile each time I read it. John 11:42. It makes me smile each time I read that prayer, because I'm a very practical person. When I read the scripture, I try to practicalize it and look at it and look at what was going on around Jesus at that time. The Bible says that Lazarus was dead for 4 days. People around had already given up their mind that Lazarus is dead. And Jesus Christ came after the man had died 4 days and he said, oh, he's not dead, he's sleeping. And people were laughing at him. He didn't, that is not just enough for him. He went there and said, Lord, I thank you because you always hear me. I was like, what is this man saying? If you're there at that time, you'll be like, Lord, I thank you because you always hear me. But for these people, and it's like, what sort of prayer is that? If in the modern day Christianity, you'll be thinking, wake up, dead rise. Well, no. Lord, I thank you because you always hear me. And that was the beginning of his prayer. And you just look at him like, whoa. So there was nothing negative in him. When people were negative in everything, everybody around him were negative, he remained positive. Lord, I thank you because of the Holy Spirit. And he was showing the God in him. He was showing because he inherited God. He brought God into the world. So he was showing that God in him. He was showing his inheritance in God, saying, no, there's power of resurrection in me. So don't worry about me. Lord, thank you because you heard this, hear me. And he just said, Lazarus, come out. There was nothing else. Just, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man, 4 days, came out. And you can see how the people were astonished. You look at the face of those people and like, I think some people will have run away actually on that day. So maybe you're in that situation. People have looked at you and said, hang on, that guy is a joker, you know. Each time he's going to church, he's praying, he's doing this. No, you're not. By the time God will fulfill his promise in your life, the world themselves will open their mouth and be astonished at what God is doing, because you are standing firm on God's promises. The way Jesus Christ remained positive is the same way Abraham remained positive, and all these people gave us an understanding of who God is. And because of that, they were able to pass on the blessings into generations after them. We sang this morning, I love Jesus, I'm so in love with you, Jesus. Because we can see the practicality of the work of God that Jesus has brought. I know that if Jesus had been in the world today, I was discussing with someone here yesterday, and one of the young people that came in here yesterday, I was saying, if Jesus had been in the world today, people have said, oh, that's a good guy. He's a very, very good guy. And why would they say he's a good guy? Because he was always positive. Nothing negative come out of his mouth. When we were young, there's a song we used to sing that I love to be like Jesus, that nobody has had any negative thought from his mouth. And that is it. Jesus was positive all through. Abraham was positive all through. And as a result of that, they remain in the understanding of God's promises. And they were able to pass those inheritance. Brothers and sisters, you and I now have, and the moment we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we have the inheritance of God passed on to us through Jesus Christ. And it's now for us to pass those inheritance to the world around us. We are now in a position to pass those promises to the world around us. We are now bold to say those words in Deuteronomy 28 to each other. And say, blessed are you in the coming in and in the going out. We are able to say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. We are able to say those prayers to each other because we are carrier of that inheritance. We are carrier of that. At this point in our journey, God has bestowed upon us those inheritance. As Jesus has given, as we have accepted the life of Christ, he has given us those things for us to keep. But the condition is this. In exercising those inheritance, we need to exercise our faith in God. We need to stand firm on the faith in God. We need to be in the position of prayer. We need, let us not look at anything around us. Let's be like Abraham, who staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He kept faith with God in his promises. Maybe there's a promise that God has made to you many, many years ago. Maybe there's something that God has said to you that will happen many, many years ago. And you're thinking, I'm getting old. Where is this thing? When is it going to happen? I'm saying to you today, do not waver in your faith. Another year is going to an end. You're going into another year. I'm saying to you this morning, he that has promised is faithful. He that has promised is faithful. For him still keeping you alive, he has a plan and purpose for you. For him bringing you into his kingdom, he has a plan and purpose for you. God has not finished with you yet. Don't finish with God. God bless you. Amen.